Does it sometimes feel like your family or maybe your close group of friends speaks its own language? If so, you're not alone. What you're speaking is called a familect. That's a unique set of words or phrases created and used within a tight-knit social group. These private languages, these family dialects, can tell us a lot about their speakers and their relationships with one another. The term familect was originally coined for multilingual families, but the term has since evolved. Now it could apply to the unique language of any close social unit. It's a topic of interest to word nerds like maybe you, and certainly our next guest. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Okay, do you have some of these words and phrases that are unique, maybe in your family or maybe your group of friends or a workplace? How did that word or those phrases come about? What's the story behind it? Was it the result of a mispronunciation, a funny circumstance, a strange interaction? Call in now with yours at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Martha Barnett is a co-host of Away with Words, a public radio show about language. You can hear the show on the Ideas Network on Sunday mornings at 9. She's the author of several books on word origins. Martha, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, Rob. Great to be here.
Well, can you tell us a little more about what a familect, apart from being hard to say, a familect actually is?
Yeah, you have it right. A familect is like a dialect. A dialect is a regional variety of language that's distinguished by its vocabulary, pronunciation, and grammar. And a familect is that same kind of thing, only much smaller. It's a private slang. It's that unique vocabulary of words and phrases, and sometimes different pronunciations that belong to a family or, as you said, a close-knit social group. And what makes them so much fun, in part, is that they're often completely unintelligible to somebody outside your family. And that's one of the things that's really great about these familects is it's all about connection. They help us feel like family. It gives us a sense of intimacy. You know, it's like any kind of slang that's shared by a group reinforces the idea that, hey, we all belong to each other. We understand each other. We have a history. And, you know, sometimes these words and phrases will stick with us for life. They're so special and so uniquely identified with dad or grandma that sometimes that word or phrase is going to end up in that person's obituary. We see that a lot.
And you have a great data set among Away With Words listeners. Do you hear a lot of these examples of unique words and phrases from families?
Oh, my gosh, all the time. It's so much fun. A lot of times they arise spontaneously. It's what a linguist referred to as the effervescing of language, like from childhood misunderstandings or mispronunciations. Maybe your toddler couldn't say the word phone, and to this day, everybody in the household says, "Hey, hand me my flown," you know, or my little brother couldn't pronounce my name Martha, and so for years and years and years after he was, you know, a public speaker, I was still Mimi in the family. Or, you know, little kids will come up with, you know, Barsh barrels for marshmallows or hiccup truck. We heard that one from a listener. And sometimes, you know, even within a couple, you'll have your own language. You know, you'll be on your own planet linguistically. And maybe you were texting back and forth and autocorrect changed your message to something hilarious. And you just keep using that word.
One of my favorites in my family is when our kids were littler, we went to this park, is a little further away. It had a seesaw shaped like a hot dog. So, of course, we called it Hot Dog Seesaw Park. Well, the seesaw broke. They took it out. And we still call it Hot Dog Seesaw Park years later. And it would have absolutely no meaning to anyone, even if they played in that park every day.
Yeah, that's a great one.
We're talking to Martha Barnett from Away With Words about family dialects, familects, those unique words and phrases that can happen within a family or maybe a other tight social group. And we're hoping to hear some of your examples at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Ginny is with us now in Lancaster. Ginny, hello.
Hello.
You've got an example for us?
Hi, Ginny.
Yes. So in the mid to late 70s, I played on the women's basketball team. at the UW. And for whatever reason, we this word was developed, and we would say it meant like you're not doing anything. You're just being. And so like the word was cartonite. So if somebody asked you what you were doing, you'd say, I'm cartonizing, or you're engaging in cartonization. I mean, it was just this random thing that we developed as a team. I guess it was a team elect kind of thing. Maybe.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Ginny, I want to ask, is this something that happened off the court, or could you say something was cartonizing on the court? Like, yeah, you're out there, but you're not defending, you know, your assignment or whatever. You're cartonizing on the court.
I think we mainly tried to do it off the court.
Well, I hope
we
so.
Get in trouble. Yeah.
Ginny, thanks so much. I would bet sports teams are, you know, you're with these people a lot in very intense situations,
right.
Martha. That seems like a perfect environment for some of these word inventions.
Boy, it sure does. Yeah, any small, close-knit group like that is going to develop their own shorthand. And it's much more efficient that way, but it can be so much fun. I mean, I'll bet that when she texts with her ex-teammates now, you know, they can still use that word and everybody knows what it means. It's sort of like this wonderful verbal photo album.
Thanks a lot for sharing that with us, Ginny, at 800-642-1234. Well, I hope the Central Time team doesn't accuse me of cartonizing through the day now. Marcus is with us next in Milwaukee. Marcus, hi.
Hi. So when my grandma was alive, she used to say that you really only needed three movies to understand life. That was White Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life, and The Godfather. And so she used to quote to us pretty heavily out of those three movies. But two that stuck around is from White Christmas. Let's just say we're doing it for a pal in the army, you know, which is sometimes let's just say it's for a pal in the army or just a pal. You know, it's like a tenuous connection where you're kind of obligated and you should do this, but you really don't want to. And so that's when he's pointing his fake arm and rubbing it. And then the other one from White Christmas that she used a lot and we still continue to use is snood. Meaning like a stash or a hoard of, you know, like if we were keeping chips in our room as children and as teenagers and we had them in Tupperware, all of a sudden we come down and we're eating Sun Chips. And my dad might look at us and be like, where'd you just pull those out of your snood? And it's like, you know, it's a reserve that you probably shouldn't have or you should be more sharing with the rest of the family.
Okay, Marcus, I got to ask, one of those movies is an odd one out. Where did The Godfather come into it? Did grandma make you an offer you can't refuse? Like, you're going to eat dinner or did you have to keep your friends close, your enemies closer? Where did that fit in?
Rob, I don't want to have to come with a signed check and Luca Brasi. That's all I got to say.
All right. Marcus, thank you so much. Now, this is another category, Martha. In a band I've been in for a long many years, we could exist solely, I think, on certain movie references. Does this end up being part of our shared tight-knit language?
Oh, sure. You know, a family sits around watching TV night after night, and you just pick up different words and phrases. The one that's going around in our house is off you pup, which we'd never heard until we started watching the British baking show. And, you know, when they send the judges away for a little bit, they say off you pup. And now we just say that. And I think we're going to be using that for quite a while.
Marcus, thank you so much for sharing that story. We're talking to Martha Barnett, co-host of A Way with Words. We're looking at familects, family dialects, the unique made-up languages or words and phrases that we share with our families or our basketball team or other tight-knit group of friends and colleagues. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have one of these? Do you have many of these? Maybe one with your family, one with your coworkers, one with I don't know who. Love to hear some of your great examples and where they came from at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. The conversation continues coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation about familects, the unique words and phrases we share with our families or other close relationships. Martha Barnett is with us, co-host of the radio show A Way with Words. Let's go back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Want to hear your unique words in your family? You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or call 800-642-1234. Amanda is with us now in Watertown. Hi there, Amanda.
Hi there. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Yeah, what is your word for us?
I've actually got two. There's words that my daughter couldn't say when she was growing up. She couldn't say you're welcome. She always said whack-em. And so we would say whack-em, whack-em, and that went well into her teens. And we would try to teach her to call our cats to her. So we'd say, come here. We'd do the kissy sound, and she'd go, meer. And she, again, it's one of those things that has just stuck with us. I mean, we just went and visited her a couple weeks ago in college, and we did it again, and always has the motions and the whole sound effects and everything.
All right, let's try it. Amanda, thank you for calling.
Whack-em, whack-em.
Also awesome. Thank you, Amanda, for that. Now, Martha, we had some of those, the kids couldn't pronounce potty, so pot it was the word for a bathroom for a long time. Is this a pretty common, that kid mispronunciation, pretty common source of these Familect words?
Calls about those all the time. And they're just, you know, they're just so precious. It's just a little picture of your child when they were very small. And as Amanda said, these things stick around for a lifetime often. And, you know, she mentioned cats, and I was thinking that another example of this kind of thing is the names of our pets. They often evolve. You know, you give the pet a name like we heard from a listener who first called their pet, their cat Orange Juice, and then eventually the cat's name was Lanny because it went from Orange Juice to Juice to Foos to Poos to Pusillanimus to Lanny Mouse. And then to Lanny. And these are things that the family shared and nobody else did. And that's what's so precious about it.
I wonder if the cat was cool with all of that. I don't know. Hard to tell, though.
And if there's food involved, I think they'd be okay.
Yeah. Do we see that kind of evolution in the words within a family very often? Because I think I can think of examples like that in my own family where it started as one thing. And then 3 years later, it's been through 20 steps and it's something completely different.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that's often the case.
Thanks for your call, Amanda. Mark joins us now in Menominee. Mark, what did you want to share with us?
So when my oldest son was really young, he super loved Pringles, but he would only leave like one or two chips in the bottom of it. And so the phrase, you Pringled that, came about. And so now whenever there's anything with like one or two things left, even today is like, dude, who Pringled the cheese? Who Pringled the chip?
I am totally stealing that. That is fantastic.
Yeah, Mark,
I'm guilty of that as well, Mark.
And you keep saying it now, Mark. Is this something you've said in front of other people, not family members, and they kind of do a double take?
We get all kinds of weird looks. It happens, you know, at the restaurant. It happens at other people's houses. Yeah, of course.
Thanks a lot. That is a great one, Mark. Thanks for calling in at 800-642-1234. Martha, I mean, do we think it happens sometimes that word might start at the family or local group level, but somehow goes viral, even maybe before the internet, and starts to spread into the language?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think, you know, expressions like FHB, I don't know if your family ever used that. I think early on that was pretty localized for family hold back. You know, if you have guests over and you want to kind of give a subtle message to everybody around the table that they shouldn't take food so that the guests can have enough.
FHB.
Yeah. FHB or FLO, flow, family layoff. They're little things that family members can say to each other and other people don't get it. You know, sort of like that look when you're invited to somebody's house and maybe you do something to catch your partner's eye and tell them you want to go.
Thanks a lot for that call. Jean is with us now in Madison. Jean, hi.
Hi. I'm calling about boogeyman names.
Oh.
Now, do you have unique ones in your family, Jean?
Well, I grew up outside of Fond du Lac in a neighborhood where we sort of ran wild in the 60s and 70s, and we had a boogeyman named Butchum Birium Beer.
And I did you make no that idea. Name up?
Well, I don't know. I was kind of the youngest of the group, so I thought, do other people call the boogeyman that? But I've never seen it written. So it's
weird.
One of those, yeah, it's kind of, yeah. So yeah, it was fun, but I still think about him.
Interesting. Gee, I'm a little scared now. Gene, thanks for calling in. I never thought about that, Martha. Do different parts of the country or maybe even different families have their own versions of the boogeyman or boogeymen?
Oh, there are so many boogeyman words. I mean, I'm thinking in the South, sometimes there's a reference to the Willipus Wallopus, which is this multi-legged creature that will come and get the bad children. Or Snollygoster is another one that haunts, the countryside looking for children who have misbehaved. Parents have been coming up with those words for a long time, and sometimes they're widespread, but I could see, a mom or dad coming up with a word themselves to keep those kids in line.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Martha Barnett from A Way with Words, looking at those words and phrases unique to maybe one family or one group of close friends. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Sharon joins us now in Appleton. Sharon, what do you have for us?
Hi there. I have a contraction mess up that my boys did when they were little. 18 months apart, they kind of learned to talk together. And when they were saying, "I am not," instead of saying, "I'm not," they'd say, "I am'n't." "No, I am'n't." And it was just their way of saying it. They're teenagers now, and it still slips out.
Fantastic,
no,
Sharon.
"No, I am'n't."
I am'n't. And Martha, I love this one because it, by the rules of contractions, it should work, right? Are not, aren't, am not, why not, am'n't?
Right. And I think you will find that in some dictionaries, am'n't.
Thanks. And of course, I mean, the way that the English language has solved it informally is to go with ain't, Martha.
Yes.
Somebody started that at one point, right?
Yes. Yes. That ain't has been around for a very, very long time, and it doesn't bother me at all. I'm thinking this reminds me also of we've had several calls from parents whose kids are told to behave, and the kids will say, "I am being have." they're misunderstanding the word, and I just love those misunderstandings that end up being things that last forever in a family.
Sharon, thanks for calling. I am it. Sorry that you called. Kay joins us next in Madison. Kay, hello.
Yes, two things. We had a dog that we called Skippy, because he was like peanut butter colored. And my sister broke her arm several times, and so she always had casts on her arms. And she also had smelly feet, and we would just tell her that it was Mr. Stinky or Mr. Smell.
Okay.
What her body was smelling like.
Oh, no. How did she feel about that, Kay?
Well, I was older, so I thought that was a good thing. They didn't call me that. We called it to her.
Okay, thanks a lot for the call. And Martha, I'm guessing hopefully a good-natured ribbing among siblings can lead to words and phrases that catch on within a family.
Sure. That one sounds, sometimes people do go by the name, especially in certain parts of the country, people will go by a name like Stinky for a long time.
I don't aspire to that. Kay, thanks a lot for the call. Jill is with us now in Rice Lake. Jill, hi.
Hi. Hold on. I have two things. My oldest son, when he was little, could not say these things, and he said them so cute that we still use it today. And one is grinkle, grinkle, little doll.
Instead of twinkle, twinkle, right?
I think we got that one, yeah.
Yeah, and Ecrebity Hulk.
Ecrebity, like Incredible Hulk. Oh, okay, so that's kind of like the spaghetti paschetti sort of thing. But Jill, you say you've kept singing, what is it, Grinkle Grinkle over the years?
Grinkle Grinkle Little Doll is the way we've taught it to grandchildren. And Ecrebity Hulk, that's just who he is.
Excellent, Jill. Oh, so that's another one in our category of mispronunciations that become the accepted pronunciation, Martha.
Yeah, and this is reminding me of an email that we got years ago from a listener who and I would suggest this for your listeners. She compiled a 33-page document of all of these family sayings and words when the kids were growing up in the 1950s and 60s. And it's just this thing that the whole family treasures now. You know, one of the kids misunderstood New Mexico as New Mixing Bowl. So they would talk about wanting to go to New Mixing Bowl, or they referred to the newscaster, Walter Cronkite, as Waffle Cornflake, and these things, you know, or a post-it note as a Peely Deely. And it, again, it's like a family photo album. It's a really, I think, great exercise.
Thanks for that call. Time for one more caller. Susie is with us in New Berlin. Susie, what's your example?
Hi. When my daughter was, I don't know, about five, we were playing school. She was the teacher. I was the student. I did a picture or something for her. And then a little while later, she said, Mama, how do you make, what letter makes the J sound? And I said, well, it could be a G or a J. What are you doing? No, nothing. And then she handed me my picture back with a grade on the top. And it said, good gob.
And did you stick with that, Susie? Good gob?
Well, we still say it. And she's like a lead nurse in Milwaukee Hospital now. And she occasionally will commend her other nurses when they do something quality. Good gob.
Oh.
I mean, I had to explain to them what it was, because they thought, what? You know.
Oh, that's a great example, Susie. Thank you so much. Martha, just a few moments left. You collect these kind of things at Away With Words, right? People can go to your website and share their unique words with you?
Absolutely. Yeah, waywardradio.org. You can mail it to us at words@waywardradio.org. We'd love to hear more about these. The list goes on and on. I don't think we've Pringled this yet.
Oh, you did a good job today, Martha. Thanks for joining us.
It was great to be here. Thanks.
It's Martha Barnett, co-host of A Way with Words. You can hear that here on the Ideas Network Sunday mornings at 9. You can keep sharing your unique words and phrases you share with your family and close friends on the Ideas Network Facebook page.